So guys, what I said we would do today is an introduction to biur, to the nature of the mitzvah to destroy chametz, as well as the nature of bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Right? Really. So again, there are three mitzvot in play here. Bal yirah bal yimatzeh, for the moment, we'll treat together. Right? The passives: do not have, do not see, do not find. Right? And then the one that is possibly active, which is teshbitu. Okay. So the two main sources I give you on the sheet. One is the Minchat Chinuch, who is sort of the standard go-to source to at least frame the question as the nature of Tashbitu. And then Reb Chaim, who does a very good job here at framing, even if you don't necessarily agree in the end of this analysis, but framing the two main ways of understanding Biur. Okay? Those are, that's what we're going to do. Okay? That's our goal for today. So the Minchat Chinuch.
Kobe.
Kobe, you looked up who the Minchat Chinuch was?
The Minchat Chinuch is often understood to be a proto-Brisker, right? He's modern-ish. He's pre-Briskers. That's it, like Joseph Babad, yes, Joseph Babad. Very good. 1801, 1874. Very good. Right, so he writes a commentary on the Minchat Chinuch, which is, it's not really fair to call it a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch, because it's not really. He uses the Sefer HaChinuch to organize his own ideas. And what he's famous for doing is basically asking, trying to begin the conceptual work by coming up with both asking overarching conceptual questions like this, like what is the nature of this mitzvah, and coming up with the stretching your imagination to come up with ramifications with nafkemina. And he has a set of go-to favorite nafkemina. Guys, thanks. Right, favorite nafkemina, like what? Anyone read Minchas Chinuch ever? So he has favorite ones, like, what happens if it happens being Hashmasha? What happens if it happens to an Androgynous or a Tumtum? He loves these. He loves these, right? What happens if... Right, so he comes up with all these types of examples. So the Minchat Chinuch, this piece is very, very, very long. I gave you only a few lines of it, and nevertheless everyone came to me to complain. But the Minchat Chinuch says as follows, okay? What?
We complained about this today.
Really? I had so many people going, oh, Rosh Tevot. I hate Rosh Tevot. I just said Minchat Chinuch. What? Acronyms. Well, because you made the mistake of, I'm finished, so I just gave you the book. You know. What? No, I'm happy if you're finished, you know. I'll just give you more Makar and hold you responsible for everything. So, on that note, since yesterday you already told me, so good. Mr. Zeriger, tell me, what is the question the overarching question the Minchas Chinuch poses that guides much of the discussion? Not quite. There clearly is a mitzvah to say called Tashbitu, and a lo tase bal yirah bal yimatzeh. What is his question?
Is the mitzvah
two separate entities, or is it one? Well, they are separate mitzvah, but clarify, are they what?
Is it that you can fulfill the mitzvah that's saying something over the world? I'll say that, can you...
Someone else want to try? Not quite. It's an assay. Be more precise. Is what? Is what? Is it? Okay. You're using assay and lo tasei. The words clearly are assay. There's clearly lo yira'ev lo yimatzeh, which is a prohibition, and tashbitu, which is an assay. That's not his question. His question is...
Is tashbitu active or passive?
Yes, thank you. Is it active or passive? Right, those are different. Right, those are different questions. Right, so he says, v'hinei lecha ora, ostensibly, Okay? I don't know if that helps more than Lechara. But if you read art scroll translations, that's how they will translate this, ostensibly. Correct. It seems, Yesh Safek, Im HaMitzvat Aseh, if the positive commandment is, try, I know I will sometimes do it, but a lav is not a negative commandment. Okay? I mean, it is, but that's not a word. It's prohibition. There's an English word for this, right? Just because in Hebrew it's a do's and don't do's, right? That's not good English, okay? It's not. I mean, you can say it. The Torah is divided into do's and don't do's, but that just sounds... what? No, the opposite. It sounds like your knowledge of English maxed out at, like, you know, maybe third grade. There are the things yes, that's exactly. Like, I imagine a third grade teacher writing the board. These are the do's and these are the don't do's, right? These are the no-no's, right? Like, you just, no, please stop, right? Obligations or positive commandments and prohibitions, right? Okay. What? Negative, don't do's. Hine lecha'ora. Yesh safek. There's a doubt. Im ha-mitzvat aseh. If the positive commandment, hu sheyehei ha-chameitz mushbat, is that the chameitz should be destroyed, and therefore, v'im yesh lo chameitz, if you do have chameitz, chutz ma she'over al lo ta'aseh de'bal yiraya bal yimatzeh, then besides for violating the prohibitions of thou shalt not find and thou shalt not see, over od al ha'aseh, you furthermore violate in negation the positive commandment, v'imlei ein lo chameit, but if you have no chameitz, ein over bilav, you neither violate the prohibitions, v'gam ha'mitzvat aseh mikayem, and you fulfill the positive commandment passively. Okay? And again, the Hebrew way, the...
Thank you.
The Hebrew, the rabbinic way of saying passive is sit and don't do anything. I felt bad, Moshe, before when I said that to him. He thought I was talking to him. He's like, what is that? I said, sit and don't do anything. He's like, whoa. I'm like, no, I'm not telling you to sit and be quiet. That's what the words mean.
No, the word is like passive.
But then like you like walked away. I'm like, no, you can stay. It's not just translating. Shave al tasa. What?
No, isn't the word for passive just like passive.
Passive. Yes, in modern Hebrew, it's passive. Passive is passive.
I looked
That's exactly what it means. Sit and do nothing. But yes, in modern Hebrew, it is passive. In Malasa. What? And I have no idea what language did that come from. Passive. Intellectuality, yeah. Yes. Yes.
There's a lot. Televisia.
Yes. What? Specific. Yes. Yes, thank you. Otobus. I'm glad you've all picked up on your Hebrew since you got here. Otobus. Specific. Pacific. Yes. But, okay, just for the record, sometimes it makes it much worse, okay? Yes, like the front axle of your car. Do you know how to say front axle? So the back axle is the back axle. The back axle. What's the front one? The back axle could be. The front back axle. Like someone did not explain this before they... The back axle is the back X, and the front axle is the back X kidney. The front back axle. Yes. Yes. Exactly. It is one of those things that drives me a little bit cool. What? Yes, I know. Thank you. I actually do live here and speak Hebrew. Yes. And nevertheless, that XP me is took me quite enough. You know.
No, you definitely remembered it after the first time.
After the first time, yes. Back. But I'm glad you already know that, Kofi.
Right.
If your car ever breaks down, then you need to fix the front back axle.
Nah, we just remember you ranting about it.
Back axle me, you know. That's a great country to drive in. That is true. Yes, I went from not having my license but never needing to drive because I lived first I was in the Heights and then I was in Gush and the Kollel, so I didn't own a car for years. So like I just, you know, I barely drove. And then we moved to Toronto, and Toronto there are no real highways. It's all streets. So like I got used to driving with polite Canadians on streets. And then I started commuting from Efrat, went straight from that to commuting from Efrat to Modiin on the 443 before they started cracking down on it. And it was terrifying because like the speed limit is technically 110, but kilometers. But when I first started doing it, they had not started the crackdown on it. And the speed of traffic was 140 to 145. And it, like 85, 90 miles, something like that. It was, and people swerve like crazy, right? They're like going like this constantly, right? It was so terrible. They've started cracking down a little bit on it. It's crazy. Oh, they do all the time. It depends which highway you're on. On the one, all the time. Yeah, on the one, they always pull over. Okay. Anyways. So he says, Kamo b'Shabbat v'Yom Tov. So he says, what's the example of a positive commandment that, now this is not obvious, but okay, that a positive commandment that is primarily fulfilled passively. So he says, Ika'ase d'Shabbaton, Masiyat Melacha. Besides for the local prohibitions to perform Melacha on Shabbat and Yom Tov, there's an overarching prohibition, overarching mitzvah of Shabbaton. The day shall be a day of rest. Correct. So there's a positive mitzvah to be active. There's a positive mitzvah to be passive. Right? That's how he understands it. You're actively being passive. Well, what his point is, now again, not everyone agrees with this because there are other ways of understanding Shabbaton. But he says, V'im avar va'asa milacha, and if you violate, over ba'asa v'lo tase. So on Shabbat, if I don't do malacha, I both did not violate the prohibitions, and I did passively fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbaton. V'chanami, so here too, ikara mitzvah kan, shlo yachamez birshuto. The mitzvah primarily is to make sure you don't have chametz under your auspices, in your ownership. It is destroyed from your property. It's not like a lav abba michal asay. What's a lav abba michal asay? A lav abba michal asay is a prohibition which is derived by implication from a positive commandment. Right? He's saying that's not what I'm talking about. Right? Right? So what is his question? Right? So he says, Tashbitu, what's the proper way to understand, right, Tashbitu? Right? So he says there's two possibilities. One is actively. Destroy, right? And the other is
absolutely
make sure not to do that, right? What's the nafkamina? Right, the nafkamina he says later on, but I didn't give you, I just gave you the conceptual, but the very clear nafkamina for this is if on the 14th. Right, you have no chametz,
do you need to buy chametz to destroy?
Okay. Do you need to?
What? This is an important question. If you don't have chametz to destroy, you have to go get chametz so you can destroy it. Yes, this is what it says in the continuation, right?
And the answer, according to him, is
yes.
No, right? If you think that there's a mitzvah to destroy,
right,
it's active, so then you must. And that's what he says, right? This is the nafkamina. This is the clearest nafkamina. Is if it is an active mitzvah to destroy, then if you don't have chametz, you must find chametz to destroy. If you don't, you didn't violate Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh, but you also did not fulfill Tashmitu. Or is Tashmitu just the other side of the coin of Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh? That by not having chametz, I both did not violate Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh, and I passively did not have chametz.
Yay.
Yay. Yes.
Okay.
How many people that will be feeding him will truly not have chametz? Like, I can't think of a single person, especially when this was written, that wouldn't have chametz. Like,
that's not true. Yes, but you also didn't have storage, so you would just plan to run out of it and not bake new bread before Pesach. You would think about it, without refrigeration, without whatever,
but
you bake fresh bread every other day.
If you had fresh bread,
you had it yesterday, and you finished it.
Somewhere that you could
First of all, no, because crumbs you don't have to destroy. It has to be kazayit.
Okay.
Right? So why, right? If I made... Okay. Okay? We have run out of bread now, right? Not because, halachically, we have a chumrah that you also can't on chametz on Rosh Hashanah during Elul. This is not a chumrah, right? It's... They should have run out of bread because guys ate
too much
bread before Rosh Hashanah could get it by it. So what happens if, right, this, right, so what happens if you have minimal, you have, don't have refrigeration, right, you have minimal, so you have minimal stored food. So on Yud Gimel, you bake enough bread for, let's say, you bake a fresh, fresh batch of bread, Yud Gimel, Nisan in the morning, and you say, okay, we have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and breakfast tomorrow. That's what we need, right? And there's a miscommunication about how many loaves you're allowed to take, right? You made a bunch of little rolls, and you told everyone they could take two, so that we have enough, and everyone took three, and you wake up on your Yud-Aleph and Pidom. There is nothing for breakfast, right? So now, so the Minchas Chinuch asked, do I have to go bake bread so that I can then immediately burn it? Or, okay, one last thing to do on Pesach morning, on an Erev Pesach morning, right? It's gone.
I'm done. I don't have to burn anything. I'm good.
Yes.
Wait, so if this was passive, would that mean that we have two separate passive commandments with chametz?
Three, actually.
Three.
Correct.
Three,
you have
that being, that's exactly what he says. He says being passive
will, right, by, according to this, by being passive, right? So if you have no chametz, right? So you get, you avoid two lavim, right? Two prohibitions, and you get one asay.
That's right.
And so are there any other cases with mitzvah where there's an active mitzvah that
you just said, Shabbaton.
So
right? Keep Shabbat. If you don't do malacha, so you didn't violate a capital crime, and you also did passively fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbaton.
Same thing, because in Shabbos, it's a...
According to the Ramban, it's a separate, he counts as a separate mitzvah.
But for Shabbos, you do nothing.
And you fulfill a mitzvah.
You're not considered an active mitzvah.
That's what I just... Ika asay the Shabbaton. There's a positive mitzvah called Shabbaton. Make the day a day of rest.
It's considered an active mitzvah where you do nothing.
Correct.
But this would be an active mitzvah
where you
do
nothing.
Do have to do something.
No! That's his question. No, but that's his question.
No, but I thought you said this is a path.
This, he says, according to this, if I don't own chametz, by the time we get to Yud Aleph, I have to do nothing. And I fulfill the mitzvah to say.
Is it an active mitzvah either way?
That's not active. I didn't fulfill any mitzvah by eating it, by running out of chametz.
But it's not as active or passive.
Sabbath active though?
No, you passively fulfill a mitzvah. That's his point.
I'm saying, like, is there any situation where you have to actively do something?
That's his question.
Which also would, but besides...
No, that's what he's asking. He said, what is Tashmitu? Is Tashmitu like Shabbatot? That it's just a positive formulation of a passive action, of a passive state?
What I'm asking is, this also seems pretty weird to me that you would have to have hummus beforehand.
Yeah, but what does Tashmitu mean?
Like, I'm just
you
like,
shall
is there
destroy.
Any other case where there is, like any other mitzvah where you have to like, where you would have to break, like
you don't have to break anything. This is before Pesach.
You don't have to break it, but
before Pesach. What's the problem before Pesach?
No, I know it's not an issue before Pesach.
So
it just seems weird that you would have to have hummus just so that you could guess it.
So you like this side more, but okay. But that's his question. Is what is the nature of the mitzvah
I like,
of?
I don't like either of them because this one also just seems redundant.
But we have this, right? Sometimes you have the same thing that'll be bolstered by an asei amotase. Now, okay, so let's ask some questions here, right? So Binyan ben Ari says there's a few problems here, right? Why would you mitzvara? Why would you prefer one or the other? So Binyan says one of the reasons, even though he doesn't like this, but one of the reasons to like this is, right, is it, because this would be not superfluous. You should have picked a different word. But, right, not superfluous, right? Meaning, the problem with this is it's not superfluous. Really, if the ase and the lo tase mean the exact same thing, right? Tashbitu means it shouldn't be there, and balya balya matzah means it shouldn't be there. So why would you have the exact same thing? Not having chametz, which accomplishes this, right? I avoid two lavim and I fulfill an ase, right? That's what I'm saying. So if you have to say that you actively have to destroy it, then what? I understand why I need this. Right? Balya or balya matzah say don't own it, and this says, and actively destroy it.
Good, but what's the problem with this, Benjamin? What do you say here? Which is why, no, sorry, on this one, right? The problem with this one is, so in support of this would be what? Which is why go out of your way, right, to have chametz, right?
It could be to make a spectacle of it.
So Avi defends it and he says, what do you mean? Maybe, as we've talked about, chametz is unique. We hate chametz. We passionately hate chametz. I'm going to make a spectacle of chametz, right? It's not just enough to run out of it. It's like, you know, it's not enough that I'm on that someone's on a keto diet, right? They need to show that they hate carbohydrates. So they go and they buy a loaf of bread and then they throw it out, right? They burn it, right? It's a symbolic.
What?
What? You like that idea? For keto diets or for Pesach?
I like keto diet.
What?
I think keto diet example.
So it reminds me of. Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the book Mera Halacha? There's a book Mera Halacha by Professor Moshe Kapel, who's a fascinating human being. But in the introduction, he wrote a haskama for himself, a parody haskama. You know, like the letters of approbation at the beginning of a book, right? So he wrote a parody one from the Rebbe Lono de Lamy, right? In which it starts off with, you know how much haskamas are, right? I haven't read the book, but I know the author, and he's a good person, so the book's probably fine. Yeah. So it starts off like that. And then it says, but then I actually read the book, and I realized it was heresy. And it must be destroyed, and therefore I call on anyone who fears God to go to the store and buy the book, and buy every copy so that there's none left, so that no one... should God forbid be led astray by reading it, buy everyone, go to every store, buy out every last copy, and destroy it. Right? So,
yes, right? You make a spectacle of it.
He's a very funny person. What? Moshe Kapel in Mera Halacha.
What book is this that he wanted to burn?
His own book.
Oh.
He wrote a haskama that said, burn it, but make buy every last copy to make sure nothing is left. Right? That was the... Yeah, yeah. It was fun. Okay, good. So hold the Bidika thought for 1 second. But you're going to see how they're crazy in Afghamina. So, for example, an Afghamina that maybe we'll spend a little bit of time on, though it depends on a lot of other things, is a very, very bizarre sheet of the Balamar, which is, what happens if I find the chametz in my property on at 3 p.m. on Erev Pesach? Okay? I find chametz in my property at 3 p.m. on Erev Pesach. So, what do you do with it?
Just before or after.
Destroy it. Good. The Ramban says, obviously, destroy it. The Balam Or says, of course you destroy it. And you know how you could destroy it? By eating it.
I like that idea.
Because it's only usur to eat it if you're eating it to eat it. But if you're eating it to destroy it, it is mutter. And the Ramban has that look on his face. And the Ramban says, what are you talking about? Right? You know, you are crazy, which I think this time is actually not a paraphrase. Sometimes it is a paraphrase, but I think on this one's actually not a paraphrase.
It's a loophole.
I think it's actually, it might actually be his actual words. Yeah, that's not what it is. But that only makes sense here, right? I mean, if you think tashbitu means make sure you don't have chametz, so, right? Now the isser is kicked in. Eating it cannot... it can't be mutter to eat it after the shot biur. But maybe, remember we saw this last year by biur shviat, right? Is biur shviat, can eating the shviat produce be part of the biur, right? Which would permit you to eat it even after the shot biur. Remember that? Right. And I said to you at the time, this connects to a shita we might see next year in the Balam Or. That shita in the Balam Or. That only makes sense here. Why does it make sense here? Because look, if it's passive, then at this point you have chametz when you shouldn't. You can't eat it. You just have to destroy it, right? Because you can't have it anymore. But if you think it's to actively destroy, and eating is one of the ways in which you could destroy it, even though it's a shot issur, you could. Now, obviously, then you'd have to ask, well, why can't I do that on Pesach? Good question, right? It's pretty obviously not correct. But it makes for good lumdos. But yeah, it is. What? Anyways. You know. So, and what was, and you had another Nafkamina? What were you saying? What was your other Nafkamina? Maybe, but so let's bring it back to Bidika. Now, why did I want to? Why is this important in understanding Bidika Chametz?
Because you might be able to eat it.
So, well, let's spell it out here conceptually. Bidika Chametz. What have we been saying the last few days about Bidika Chametz? Right. So we said, what were we asking about Bidika? We said, what is the purpose of Bidika? Right. So we said that according to Rashi, it's to avoid Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. Right? According to Rambam, according to Tosfot, Isha Yolo Yom HaBlachol. And then we bridged all these sheets up. Right? But we said, but wait a second. So, within this context, we asked, well, is Bidika really fulfilling a role? Even if it's a mitzvah derabanan, is it fulfilling a role on a daraita level? Right? Well, I said, well, it might depend on what you think tashbitu is. Right? I said, it could be that bittul does what? Remember I've said this before? That bittul might avoid bal yirah bal yimatzeh. But it's possible that bidika is needed for what? For tashbitu. Because even if I am a vatlet and therefore I don't own it, so I didn't violate bal yirah bal yimatzeh, you might not have fulfilled Tashbitu, and Bidika is what enabled you to do it actively, and therefore it has a role, even the Doraita, in enabling you not just to avoid the prohibitions, but to fulfill the mitzvah, right? But now look at this and tell me whether what I just said is even plausibly true. What does it hang on? Whether even Tashbitu is active, right? Meaning, if Tashbitu is what? If Tashbitu, Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, all mean the same thing, which is, make sure not to have chametz, and then what do? Bittul, and now do I have chametz?
No.
No, right? Assuming the bittul is successful. Right? So I don't hold that thought. Right? Meaning we'll see that. But assuming, like Tosfot, I was mevatel, everything is all gone. Right? Bittul ba'al masagi, the simple read of the Gemara on right on Davdal, that bittul is alone. So then, should bidika have any role in a Doraita level? No, because I did bittul and therefore I don't have it. So did I violate Bal Yirah? No. Did I violate Bal Yimatzeh? No. Did I fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbitu?
No.
Yes. If you think that it's all passive, then if bittul makes it that I no longer on chametz, then did I not have chametz? Yes, I did not have chametz. Okay, I understand the negatives and positives here are confusing, right? But if you think that the mitzvah of Tashbitu is make sure not to have chametz, right? Passively. Everything is passive. Both the prohibitions and the essay are passive. Then what? Then what? Then, if I did bittul, do I ever, on a biblical level, ever need bidika? On a biblical level, do I need bidika? If you don't hold to that, I said, we have to get to the... So you could go in one of the more technical directions, that bittul only works on certain things, right? But Tosafot clearly doesn't assume that. And I said, the simple reading Gemara, that bittul works on everything. You're right. The Shita and Rishonim that we saw that said bittul only works for some chametz, then obviously, if bittul only works for chametz that I know about, and not chametz I... Sorry, chametz I don't know about, and not chametz I know about, then you need bidika. Because why do you need bidika? Because the bittul doesn't work, and therefore I still own chametz, and therefore I violate all three of these, right? But assuming bittul works to nullify the chametz, so I don't own it anymore, then bidika has no biblical role, right? Who holds that? What I just said. That's a simple read of Tosafot, right? Of Tosafot. That the only role of bidika is to make sure I don't eat it. Because once I did bittul, I did everything that I need to. I'm not violating the yasei, but I fulfilled tashbitu. For the simple pshat and tosot is like this. Right? That the only reason that you search for chametz is to make sure you don't eat it. Because once I did bittul, there is no value to get rid of the chametz. Right? Once it is not mine, it's not mine. And therefore, I didn't violate my matzah. And presumably, if, put it this way, if Tosfot felt like this, right, that tashbitu means not just make sure not to have, but actively destroy, then what should Tosfot have said? Why do you need bidika?
For destroy.
Right, because even if I do bittul, I'm supposed to ideally actively destroy the chametz. So forget the minchas chinuch nafkemina, which is go out and buy chametz. What will he tell you? Don't rely on bittul alone.
Go search.
Good. There is one possibility in which what I just said is not true, and that is
what does destroy entail, right? And two is, what does bittul count as destruction, right? What I just assumed
that bittul made sure I didn't have some age, but is not called destruction. But that makes two assumptions that I jumped over, which is this, right? Which is, what does it mean to destroy, and does Bittul count as whatever this is? Right, but the simplest read of Tosfot, I think, is this, right? Is that if Tosfot assumes that everything is just passive, and as long as I did Bittul, I don't have chametz, there's nothing more I have to do. However, if you say that the mitzvah of Teshmitu is to actively destroy, right? So then this is what we would call, what we called parallel Rashi, right? Right, parallel to Rashi, which is Bittul avoids, right? Meaning, Bittul is for what? Bali Ra'eh, right? But Bidika enables Teshmitu. Right, so I said, the simplest understanding, I think, here, is that Tosfot makes a lot more sense if it's completely passive, whereas a parallel sheet to Tarashi makes a lot more sense if you think you have to actively destroy it, because forget going out and buying chametz, the best thing you can do is find the chametz you have in your house, instead of just relying on Bittul, destroy it. Yes, no.
So, didn't we have the same process before? Like, I don't get why it's different.
What?
Why is this different?
No, so I kept saying this over and over in Tosfot. It was this question. Was that how interested Rashi and Tosfot hangs on partially on how you understand this.
Wait, so
right?
Was saying that
right, because he says once you have Bittul, you've accomplished everything on the biblical level.
So,
right?
So
but I said that the simplest understanding is that did you. But if you think that Teshmitu means you need to actively destroy it, so does Bittul accomplish this? Not clear, right? The simplest understanding I would say is no, but it might, because
we don't know what destroying.
Because we don't know what destroying entails yet. We don't know what Bittul does, right? But it, so you understand now why, right? Like I said, each of these conceptual questions opens up into other questions, right? Because I said, if Bittul is enough on a d'oraita level, that's because, again, once you did Bittul, you didn't violate Balyam Atzei, and you fulfilled Teshbitu, right? Which either assumes full passivity, is how you fulfill all these mitzvot, right? Or, possibly, Bittul actually counts as active destruction, which depends on how you understand.
Thank God there's no test on this. This is so complicated. No test.
You think I'm not testing you?
I need a full flow.
Don't you know I give terrifying bechinot? Pages and pages of bechinot. I really don't want to do that. I put it this way. I'll put it very simply. Exactly. The test that I would feel comfortable giving is not a test I have any interest in ever grading. Okay? So I'm stuck in a very, you know, nice little catch 22 there. So I solve it by not giving tests, and because yeah, you can still take that test if you want. I mean, it won't. Whatever you do, I'll give you a little smiley face at the end. Okay. Would you like smiley face stickers?
I would like smiley face stickers.
You want smiley face stickers?
Of course, I want smiley face stickers.
Okay. Okay, we could swing smiley face. We could get smiley face stickers and candy. Should we do that? Oh, you know, it's like at the Seder, right? Oh, you asked a good question. Here's a candy. Yeah.
What?
Well, we do that with my little kids.
Wasn't that what we were saying before?
If you, Kobe, if you ever come to my house for Seder, I can give you candy. Even though you're a big kid, I can give you candy too, okay? Correct. No, so now I'm clarifying, right, that why does Tosfot think, how can Tosfot say that Bidika accomplishes nothing once you have bits on a biblical level, right?
I mean, can't he just say it's not biblical?
That's what he says, but this is what I'm asking you, but if you thought that Tashbitu meant you had to actively destroy, so then is it true that Bidika is unnecessary?
No, it's not.
No, because Bittul makes sure that you don't have it, but at least at first glance, Bittul. That's exactly what I'm telling you, is that the simplest way of understanding Tosfot is this. is that bit that he thinks that Tashbito is passive, and that's why he's so comfortable saying that Bittul is the only thing you need, bit, right? The only part of the tikka is make sure you don't eat it. However, I said it's not necessarily true. It could be that Tosfot holds that what? Tashbito is active, but he thinks that Bittul counts as destruction. But in order to figure out whether Bittul counts as destruction, what do you need to ask first? Right? What does, right? Even if it's active, what would active look like? Right? Right? So, yes, Mona. No, it means that I didn't, that as much as I tortured you, I didn't give you all the possibilities right up front because I had a little bit of mercy. That's all it meant. There's a limit to how much I can give you all at once. If you want, I will stop holding back. You would like, but I feel like that's a bad idea. Okay, so let's just clarify what we have now. So let's go back again. Our primary question was, right, is Tashbito make sure not to have, right, meaning totally passive, yes, or is it active, yes? Okay, but now we said, okay, let's assume that it's active. What do you still need to ask? Right, what counts as, right, destruction?
Like the fifth one.
Right, what counts as destruction, right? And, right, part of that is going to be, I'll bracket it, right, is going to be
bit.
Okay? This is, now which question are we going to deal with today? We're not going to deal with this question. I want you to keep it in the back of your minds.
But that
this one, right? This one I want you to keep in the back of mind because, yes, this will be important for Tosfot, right? Fine. But this is the more important question for now, which is what counts as destruction? Because this is a machloket in a Mishnah, right? This is a machloket in a Mishnah, right? This we can come back to. But this is what we need to ask, okay? Is what counts as destruction, okay? Okay, I said leave Bittul. I said leave Bittul, please. Leave Bittul. Leave Bittul, please.
No. So is it a conscious choice?
Mordechai asked a very important question, which will be a sheer not so far in the future. Mordechai says, wait a second. I'm cheating, right? I'm cheating. Because I'm assuming that what are the questions you have to ask here? Is Tashbito active or passive? And then what counts as destruction, right? But there's really another question I need to ask, and that is it fair to call anything really passive? Because if I make sure that I eat all my chametz in advance, forget the Balamora's weird shita, that I can eat chametz even after Chatzot Nerpet, leave that aside. But eating is potential beer in elsewhere in halacha, right? So if I eat it on the 13th, and I say, if I, on Erev Pesach, come in, let's say, with all my leftover, forget Erev Pesach, I come in on Tet Zion Adar, and I say, guys, I got all of these Mishloach Mana. Pesach is only a month away, and all my kids are celiac. Please eat my chametz. And I say it as such. I don't just say, please take my candy. I say, eat my chametz. Right?
Wait,
What? Fine. I leave out please. I say, eat cake. Right? Let them eat cake. Fine? Right? What? Yes, I'm not having to. Right? Right? Maybe, Mordechai said, there's another way of dealing with this. Right? One way is to talk active-passive, but the other question you have to keep in mind is, wait a second, even if I run out of chametz 2 weeks before Pesach, if I purposely ate all my cookies, right? It wasn't because I wanted a cookie. It was because I ate it. I'm on a keto diet, and I eat it l'shem beer chametz is the only justification for having cookies. That's what it is, right?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm on a full year keto diet. I'm just also very machmir in beer chametz. Right? I'm constantly engaged in beer chametz, right? That's the only exception. I only have carbs, the shame mitzvah. I'm just very, very machmir on the understanding of beer chametz. Very, very, very machmir. Again, that's right, Ginsburg, this works, right? Do not gain calories, like if you're, I only eat it guitar, you know, whatever. Fine. No. So Mordechai Ash, only Mordechai. Mordechai, what does what you just said depend on? Which Mishnah? Which Mishnah? No! The only Mishnah we have done so far. The first Mishnah in the Masechta. Because what is Mordechai really asking? On or by
Yom Yichel.
Or Larba Asar, right? What does this mean? Do I have to do this on the 14th or by the 14th? And then you have to ask this both at a door right down and they're up on level, right? No, so what counts as destruction is one question. But Mordechai said, but what if I finish it days before in a way that counts as destruction? Does that count or is that considered passive? Right? What does that depend on? This. And Kobe says, well, how early could it be? What options might there be? So what options might there be? So probably not last Pesach, but give me theoretical options. Yachol may Rosh Chodesh. Right? Could be Rosh Chodesh. What else? What's the more likely one? What? If it's not Erev Pesach. If it's not Erev Pesach, what is it? Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. 30 days. How do I know that that's a thing? Because what is the Gemara going to tell you just in a few daf from now?
It's a thing.
Right?
You learn Pesach and what else do you do?
What does it change? Specifically with what? If you're traveling 30 days before Pesach, this is the magic day. Right? This is the magic day. Is what I'm chayev to do in terms of bedika if I'm going to be away from home depends on, did I leave 30 days or 31 days before my house? Erev Pesach. What I'm chayev to do for bedika hangs on this question.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Good.
Like I said, I'm trying not to make you ask all the questions in the entire first parak before we even get past the Mishnah, but you're killing me here, okay?
Was that the whole point of reading the Chumash?
So that we know exactly.
Yes, I told you that when I read the Chumash. I remember when I said the Rambam, and I said, oh, there's a Girsa issue when on the line of Yudalid, right?
Yes.
This is what I meant. This. Okay? Okay, good. Well, this took more time than I thought it would. So let's just set up then, reply. But I guess it'll take us 2 days. It's fine. You think I care? Good. You now see the conceptual questions we now have to deal with. Okay? But this is the one I want to deal with next, which is what counts as destruction? So the Mishnah tells us we have two shitot. We have Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What does the Mishnah say? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, burn, right? Rabbi Yehuda says burn. Yep. That's too small. Right?
So Rabbi Yehuda says burn. Good. And what do the Chachamim say? What we call in halacha haspatato,
which we're not doing.
Bechol davar. Destroy it in any way that you know how to destroy things. So if that means mifarer b'zorah l'ruach, right? Crumble it up and throw it into the wind. If that means flushing it down the toilet. If that means pouring bleach on it. If that means, I don't know, what other creative things do you have? Feed it to dogs.
Eat it
possibly. Yeah, what else? I don't know. I'm not really sure I want to ask you all your creative ways of destroying things. Like, how much time have you given? What? Well, is that destroying it or just putting it out of your property?
Throw it in a volcano.
What? Throw it in a volcano? Sure. I guess that's burning, but sure. What? I wonder. You're just making it into a pancake, right? I mean, a very thin. What? Sure, I don't know. Freeze it with liquid nitrogen and then smash it into a trillion pieces. Yeah, whatever, I don't know. Yeah, that seems to be a pretty good riot that you're allowed to eat, to drink water. But if you remember, my conclusion was you can drink water.
Yeah.
Okay, just so we're clear, right? I mean, I understand if I had Paskin, you can't drink water. Then you would have said, oh, Kasha, the Gemara says throw it into the lake, right? Doesn't that show? Yes. What? Don't do that. Okay, good. So we have the machloket, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, you must burn it. And the Chachamim say that hashbata oto b'chol davar, right? You can destroy it in any way, mifarer v'zor l'ruach, right? Oma filia. Now, someone tell me, what is the conceptual difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? And we're going to have to continue this tomorrow, but let's get the conceptual discussion started, which is, what is the point of contention between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim?
The Chachamim say that bitul works, while Rabbi Yehuda says only burning works.
Well, the Chachamim say everything works.
Exactly.
Okay, that is what they say. So tell me, what is the Nekudat HaMachloket? What drives them to this dispute? Okay, so you could say, so one possibility that Eitan says is what? Is this is a, right? Is that Rabbi Yehuda thinks destruction equals what? What do you call that? What? Fine. Utter, right? Destruction, right? Total annihilation, right? Right? Yes, total annihilation, right? That's what destruction means, right? He just says destroy means destroy. And the Chachamim say it means
whatever.
What do you want to call it? Inaccessible? Right? It's, I don't know. Is that a good formulation? I don't know. Is that, what would you say? Right, so you come to say, listen, what they're arguing about is, what does it mean to destroy? Right? And we know, is there such a thing as a, can you imagine in real life a machloket about what it means to destroy something?
Yes.
100%. No, I don't mean, I'm saying in just regular terminology. Like, yes, right? If someone took your phone and smashed it against the floor, right? So one person might say it's destroyed, and someone else might say, Well, it's, right, it's fixable, right? Yes, it's broken. That's breaking. That's not destroying, right? Right? Because it's fixable, because I can still use parts, right? Like, if I blew it up, everyone agree it was destroyed. But if I broke your phone, right? Yesh lo doin, right? You can see how you could
simply argue, what does the word destroy mean? Okay, what else?
I thought the Apocalypse was... Like, I don't know
very good. Ezra says, wait a second. Maybe this is a linguistic Machloket, which is, what does the word Bior mean? Does Bior equal burn or something else? Okay? Good. Does this make sense? Good. Now, someone who knows Hebrew, doesn't make sense. Good. That their Machloket isn't about destruction. It's specifically, what does the word Bior mean? Very good. That's what I meant before. Ezra's 100% right. There are two meanings to the word Bior in Tanakh.
Sometimes Bior means, so you have the pasuk of lo tivaru esh, right?
Don't burn fire on Shabbos. And what does tivaru mean there? Burn, right? Don't light a fire, right?
And what if, as opposed to elsewhere, we have biarti hakodesh, I got rid of
the Kodesh in my house. And what does it mean? Get rid of. Clear out. Very good. So Ezra says, well, maybe there's actually a linguistic machloket, which is when the Torah, right, when we use the word beer, what do we mean? Do we mean the word beer, which sometimes means burn, or does it mean clear out? It can mean either one. Very good. So this could be a linguistic machloket about what does the word beer mean. What else might be the machloket? From Binyamin, we'll summarize. Right? We said what we're going to focus on now is this question. What counts as destruction? Yehuda says, burn the chum, say in any way. So far, we have two models to explain it. The Zaydan said, destruction. The question is, destruction, does it mean total annihilation or something less? Or maybe another linguistic machloket, literally, what does the word biur mean? Biur sometimes in Hebrew means to burn, and sometimes it means to get rid of. Right? So, like in some psukim, lo tivaru esh b'chol moshe roteichem. It means to light a fire, and in Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayit by Truman Meiser, it means I just got it out of my house.
Good.
Yes. What else might the Machloket be? Okay, good. So it could be a question of immediacy, right? Fine. Right, but what might it be connected to? What might this hang on?
Whether it is clearing out or whether it is destruction at all or just...
Very good! Right? You're all assuming that both the Yehuda and the Chacham agree that you need to destroy it in some way, except for Ezra, right? But maybe another way of putting Ezra's point, which is, does Bior mean burn or get rid of, is, as Binyamin said, wait a second, maybe Yehuda and Chacham are arguing about this. Yehuda says you must burn it. Why? Because you're chayev to destroy. Why might you say get rid of it in any way? So one way of saying is they're arguing what it counts as destruction. But a more radical formulation might be, what are they arguing about? Do you need to destroy it or get rid of it? That maybe they both agree that if you needed to destroy it, what would you need to do?
Burn it.
What are they really arguing about is whether you need to destroy it at all, or tashbitu is more accurately a passive command to make sure you don't have it. And if I crumple it up and throw it into the wind, right, then... Good. And therefore, good. So what do we just have? So what I just told you is an oversimplification of Reb Chaim. And what is Kobe telling me? The Avnei Miluim, who says, whoa, Reb Chaim, you were oversimplifying it. Good. So this is what I want you to do tomorrow, is that you're going to see that Reb Chaim is going to argue that the Machloket is about what? Well, you'll see that Reb Chaim is going to argue that they have a fundamental machloket about the nature of tashbitu, whereas the Avnei Miluim is going to say, no. They have a localized machloket of what counts as destruction, but their overall model is actually the same, and that's exactly what I wanted to get you to. was to that machloket, okay?
Next weekend, like, stop.